His pen was bold, his heart was free. He left behind a radiant legacy. He left behind a radiant legacy.
The radiant legacy. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome مرحبا to another episode of the series The Radiant Legacy in the beautiful month of Safar al-Muzaffar where we celebrate The Urs of the Great Revival of Islam, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Yes, and he is none other than the esteemed scholar of Islam, the revival of the 14th century, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman. Alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to talk about the science and spirituality. Yes, together with being a great scientist, he was also a great spiritual leader, subhanAllah. And Allah Azza wa Jal had bestowed such brilliant qualities in him, alhamdulillah, subhanAllah. And today we are having the silsila, and we have already done many episodes with regards to his biography and his life and his contributions, subhanAllah. And today we are specifically going to focus on his life, where he is portrayed as a scientist, subhanAllah, and truly he was, and a great spiritual leader. And to discuss this episode with me today, we have our esteemed guest, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sayyidi.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. How are you keeping myself?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. JazakAllah for partaking in today's episode and program. And we hope, alhamdulillah, you have partook before as well. And it only adds beauty to this program. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we are going to listen to some valuable Madani pearls from our guest today. So without further ado, let's begin with the recitation of Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the beautiful hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together. Sallu al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since it is the occasion of the urs, commemoration of the urs of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, let's also recite Durood-e Radawiyah Sharif, that is Sallallahu Alaihi Nabiyyil Ummi Wa Alihi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Salatu Wa Salamun Alayhi Ya Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah Sayyidi, we are talking about that great spiritual leader who also happened to be a great scientist, subhanAllah. And it's a beautiful blend of modern scientific knowledge as well as the ancient spiritual wisdom. Right. SubhanAllah. Best of both.
SubhanAllah.
And he was truly Majma'ul Bahrain.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And as we are talking about science and spirituality from the lens of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, in this regard, we can say that he was a great Muslim scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had in particular expertise over many branches of science. Let's say, for example, he was a great mathematician. I think in the previous episode, you have mentioned what a great mathematician he was, subhanAllah. That Sir Ziauddin, he went to him, and for the matter, he had to travel all the way to Germany. Allah. It was resolved in Bareilly Sharif, subhanAllah. So we have our in-house great scientist and mathematician that left him needless of traveling to another country altogether to resolve a mathematical query that he had, subhanAllah. And he was also a great astronomer.
Allah.
Yes, the knowledge of the planets and their positioning and their movements, etc. And he was a scientist in general, like in biology, he would discuss medicine sometimes, like an expert. He would also branch into the fields of trigonometry. Sometimes he's discussing algorithms. Allahu Akbar.
Algebra as well.
Yes. An algorithm is the science behind all the modern computers and the devices. Yes.
And subhanAllah, he was an expert at that as well.
SubhanAllah.
Together with that, he was an economist. SubhanAllah. An economist being an economist, meaning knowing how the world works, you know, and managing the wealth. And it's a study that goes far beyond managing the wealth only.
Right.
And there are many definitions of this branch of science that is economy. So, alhamdulillah, we are discussing that genius. And as an astronomer, he had full command over this science as well. What happened in the year 1919, that on the 18th of October 1919, in the English newspaper, the news was printed that a certain professor in some Western countries who happened to be an astronomer and a mathematician, and he was well-renowned, and he had international recognition. So he wasn't like a nobody, but he was a well-renowned scientist, a mathematician, and together with that, he was a great astronomer as well. So he predicted something. He said that on December 17, 1919, six planets, which are most powerful, and these planets were Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Neptune, will be in conjunction, and the sun will come in the opposite direction of these planets.
Right.
And these planets will fetch the sun towards them with all their gravity. Now, with the gravitational pull and whatnot, the result will be that the magnetic properties of these planets will pierce into the sun. And it will inflict hole into the sun.
Allah.
Which will be in the shape of a big dagger. And such a stain on the sun will be visible, which everybody would be able to see on December 17, 1919. And it will be visible with naked eyes. You don't have to look through a telescope necessarily, right? So, this professor, he predicted that, right? About the conjunction of planets and whatnot. And he said that this phenomenon has never occurred in the last 20 centuries, right? And it would cause disorder in air, and it would bring about big storms, terrible rains, and powerful earthquakes, and the earth will return to its normal position after several weeks.
Allah.
So the newspapers, I mean, when this news spread, it spread like wildfire. Everybody is in panic and mayhem. What's going to happen? I mean, their own life is at stake. And here somebody is telling you in advance what's coming your way. So the panic gripped the world. And some of our Muslim brothers, they fell prey to this as well. Allama Zafruddin Bihari Ali Rahma, who is a disciple of Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and his Khalifa as well, he approached Al-Hazrat about this forecast of this professor.
Right.
And Al-Hazrat wrote an article falsifying this claim and this forecast.
SubhanAllah.
And he rendered it baseless and with no basis. It is a bogus claim, right? And it was then published, the response of Al-Hazrat was published in Ar-Raza magazine in Bareilly. This contradictory article too gained equal popularity. So here is somebody who's creating panic in the public, you know. We call them, these kind of people, they are fringe elements, really.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not doing a service to humanity, but they are more of, like how we loosely say panic mechanics.
Yes.
And fear mongers. So it was more along that category. Well, there wasn't any fear as such. So, Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he responded in the same scientific language which the professor spoke.
SubhanAllah.
And he had proven from his scientific theories that this claim has no basis. Even as a professional in the field of astronomy. SubhanAllah. And he reminded the Muslim Ummah that instead of being afraid of all of these direction and the movements of the planets, rather fear Allah.
SubhanAllah.
Muslims,
SubhanAllah.
Fear Allah. Don't fear this professor. And he says that his forecast is false and it has no basis. It is neither something wise for you to adhere to it, nor is it permissible for you to pay any attention to it, right? Don't waste your time. Interestingly enough, Al-Hazrat gave as many as 17 arguments to counteract
Allah
and to disapprove the said forecast of this professor. The arguments advanced by Al-Hazrat are astronomical and technical. And we wouldn't discuss it here, the details of it. Maybe a little bit, because this is better suited for those expert in the field. Right. However, to present something for a common understanding of us, right? We would like to point out that Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali argued that the very basis of such forecast was wrong and false to begin with. He said the forecast was based on the principle that the sun is stationary and the earth moves around the sun.
Subhanallah.
In the light of the Holy Quran, Al-Hazrat declared, the sun and moon do move according to their course.
Allah.
They are sailing within an orbit and circle. It is the earth, not the sun, that is stationary.
Subhanallah.
Around which the sun and other planets revolve. According to the working of this professor, the mutual distance of the six planets as on the 17th December 1919 worked out to 26 degrees. Whereas Al-Hazrat presented a detailed chart depicting the real position of such planets on the date 17th December.
Allah.
According to which such mutual distance worked out to 112 degrees, not 26 degrees. There is a world of difference between 26 degrees and 112 degrees.
100%.
And there was such a lot of difference between the two. I mean, there couldn't have been any more different.
Right.
And this professor gave all the weight to the law of gravitation. His entire theory was based upon the law of gravity. And confuting it, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali argued that the conjunction that was presented by the professor did not conform with the law of gravitation as well. Either of the two shall have to be discarded then. Have all the planets made to pack to attack the sun alone?
Allah, Allah.
And these were his arguments, right? Will they not attack each other? Al-Hazrat quipped.
Right.
And then, if the law of gravitation is correct, then it is bound to affect all, not only the sun. More effect upon what is nearer and sharper effect upon what is weaker. When the attack of six planets can cause such an injury to the sun, then why the Saturn could not be destroyed by the gravity of the remaining five planets? Especially when the Saturn is smaller than the sun by thousands of times, Al-Hazrat asked. Mars is smaller than Saturn,
right,
in comparison. Mercury is smallest of all these planets, six planets. So in this way, these are bound to be shattered into pieces. What an absurdity it is to believe that the weaker might not suffer at all and the strongest, meaning the sun, will lose the battle.
Allah.
It will bear some scars.
What a point.
According to the argument, right? Al-Hazrat argued that even on the basis of the law of gravitation, there can be no such conjunction of planets. And then he declared that, the time and the crucial day of 17th December arrived. And Al-Hazrat was there to see it.
Allah, Allah.
And the professor was also there to see it.
Right.
And then later on, everybody saw it. Who was on the truth? Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And as the sun rose, the panic-stricken people, imagine this is the 17th of December, the awaited day. And as the sun rose, everybody is now in panic. Right. They still got at the back of their mind that this is supposed to happen today. So this is the real deal now, right? So the panic-stricken people began to take it as doomsday, mazallah. And the routine life went to a standstill, came to a standstill that, you know what, nobody knows what could happen. And clouds of horror hovered heavily Some people laid hope in Albert and his, you know, this professor and his prophecy that he, something that he had predicted.
Right.
Some people believed in the principles that were presented by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, because he is the leader of Sharia and Tariqah, he is the leader of Islamic science, alhamdulillah. And the names of this professor and Allah Hazrat were on the tongue of people. Subhanallah, they had their favorites.
Right.
And the time came, and by the grace of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the day went off peacefully. Nothing of that sort happened.
Subhanallah.
And the sun had set at rest, and nothing such happened where what the professor had predicted, that this would happen to the sun, the six planets will come together and there will be a conjunction. None of that happened.
Subhanallah.
And the position of this professor was bust.
Allah.
Everybody witnessed that what Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali had observed and declared according to his scientific discoveries and methods came true word by word.
Subhanallah.
It also earned Sayyidi Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali the worldwide recognition as a true scientist.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Here is a great Maulana. He was known as Maulana Ahmad Raza. Yes. People would say he is a Maulana, meaning he's an alim e deen.
Right.
He's not really a scientist. Even Professor Ziauddin, he doubted. When the in charge of Islamic studies in Aligarh Muslim University, he told him about Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, why don't you go towards Allah Hazrat and he might have an answer for you for your mathematical problem that you have. He said, no, he's a Maulana, he's an alim e deen. What answer can he give to the scientific queries that I have? He said, okay, it's really worth a try. Why don't you go and see what you got to lose?
No harm in it.
Exactly. You're going to go all the way to Germany, and he's right here in Bareilly Sharif. It's in the same province, right? For argument's sake.
Right.
Right. Bareilly Sharif and Aligarh, these two cities are in within the province of Uttar Pradesh. There are many other provinces.
Right.
Right. And it was at the time when, alhamdulillah, Indo-Pak subcontinent wasn't divided, right? And it is just a small portion of the entire subcontinent. So they weren't really far apart. You could travel with your car, with your even horse and cart, you could travel to, right?
Right.
And subhanallah, and then he finally agreed that, yes, okay, let me go. Right, let me listen to my colleague. Maybe there's some truth to it. And when he went, he found out. And when this happened, subhanallah, the whole world saw the expertise of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali as a true genius and as a true scientist and as a true mathematician and as true astronomer, subhanallah. Sayyidi, so we see in him best of both worlds, Majma'ul Bahrain, subhanallah, great scientist, and at the same time he is telling people, don't fear the prophecy or the prediction of any professor, but rather fear Allah. Even in his scientific claim, he was still instilling Islamic spirituality into people's heart, something that truly matters.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, who would do that? Only an Islamic leader, only a spiritual leader could do something like that. And he was bestowed so much by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He received so much, alhamdulillah, that he wasn't only a true scholar of Islam, but he was also a great scientist. He was also a great mathematician. He was also a great poet at the same time. He was a true genius. Astronomy, we saw his expertise in astronomy, subhanallah. And he had written many books that prove his expertise into the fields of science. For example, he wrote on phonography, that is the study of sound,
right?
And he wrote, there's a complete risala on it by Sayyidi Alas Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He wrote on embryology that deals with the embryo that is in the womb. And he also, in that book, he discussed many sciences while he was discussing that. He discussed physics. He discussed the principles of reflection and refraction. All these principles of physics and optics. He also discussed laws regarding biology medicine. Allahu Akbar. And we also see certain writings of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, like for example, Kashful Illah and Samtil Qibla, where he discusses scientific methods, mathematical equations to find out the true Qibla direction based on the longitude and the altitude of a city or a place. Subhanallah. And these are all scientific calculations.
Yes.
And he didn't have to use a compass. Now, nowadays we use devices to find out the Qibla direction. Alhamdulillah, our Dawat Islami has made it super easy. And the app is made based on the principles of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, as to how to find the Qibla direction. And mashallah, the IT department of Dawat Islami, they incorporated all those sciences, Islamic sciences, into an app, you know, the prayer app, prayer times app by Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, it tells you the salah times based on your geolocation. If you are in Durban, you can either you put your GPS settings on and it will automatically detect your location wherever you are in the world.
Right.
You don't have to mention or manually enter the name of your city. Or should you choose, if the GPS is off, no problem. You can manually choose the location. Maybe, for example, in this case, Durban, South Africa.
Right.
Subhanallah. It will appear right there. And it has the salah timing for all the locations in the world. And no matter where you are, you can use this app. Put it on the flat surface. Make sure the surface is flat. It's not crooked. It has to be as flat as possible for you, for it to give you the accurate estimate of Qibla direction.
Subhanallah.
So yes, our Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah, is working on the principles laid by Allah Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, his scientific discoveries, his rules and regulations given, subhanAllah, to guide us on the matters of Sharia and Tariqah.
SubhanAllah.
Zaydi, we are also discussing today the science and spirituality. We discussed a little bit of science.
Right.
Alhamdulillah, for spirituality, I think Mawasab, inshallah, will do justice to it. What are some of those beautiful and wonderful accounts of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and his life, where he truly instilled that spirituality that is much needed today?
SubhanAllah, Mawasab. You know, you've mentioned so many beautiful accounts of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah with regards to him being as a scientist, the amount of knowledge that he had in different branches of knowledge. And subhanAllah, this, you know, it truly shows of what a great imam he was, you know, with regards to the knowledge of this world and to the knowledge of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, Musab, one thing that is very, very important is for one to be connected to a true spiritual guide, you know, in which we say Murshid-e Kamil, a true spiritual guide, to have a spiritual link with such a person. Nowadays, you know, some people may have this impression and they would use the wrong yardstick, the wrong criteria to take a person as the true spiritual guide. They may see a person, oh, okay, he's wearing woolen clothing, you know, big jubba, and with a tasbih around their neck, and maybe 10 rings on the fingers, one on each. And, you know, they must be having a big topi or a very big turban. And the actions are contradicting the Sharia. And such people, they fall into that trap. They blinded just because of seeing an outward appearance does not mean that a person should take such a person as the spiritual guide. Rather, one has to judge according to the yardstick of the Sharia. According to that, not by someone's outward appearance. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, as a true spiritual guide, his actions, his words, his poetry, his literature, his talking, everything was in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, this is a very beautiful account. And this shows of how he's aware and he knows and oversees his disciples, his muridin. So it's mentioned Sayyid Ayyub Ali rahimahullah, this was his student. He says that I was present with my brother Sayyid Qanaat Ali rahimahullah. We both were students of Ala Hazrat, and we were doing some scholarly work with Imam Ahmad Radha Khan rahimahullah. And it was around 9 or 10 a.m. When a young man came, he greeted us and he sat one side, very quietly, he sat one side. So we asked him that, where have you come from? And he mentioned where he came from. Then we asked him that, why have you come here? What brings you here? And listening to this question, this young man, he started to cry. And they kept on asking him that, you know, tell us, what's happening? Why have you come here? And he's crying and crying and crying. And then now due to the insistence, he said that, I am a murid of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah. And this year, I was honored with attending a gathering held in the remembrance of Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chisti, rahimahullah. And over there, I saw a pious personality, well, appeared to be a pious personality. So what I did, I went to him, I kissed his feet, and I showed him respect. So some people over there, they said to me that, you know what, why don't you become his murid? And I said that, I'm already a murid of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah. So he says that when I said this, people over there, they suggested to me, and they told me that, over there with Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, you have become a murid in Sharia. You know, you have taken the oath of allegiance in Sharia. And over here, you take the oath of allegiance in Tariqah. Now, hearing these words from the people, this young man, he said, okay, I will take bayah to this person. And he took it. After that, he says that, I went to my lodge, I rested, I slept away. And in my dream, I saw Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, and he had this expression on his face that he was upset with me. And he told me, return my shajara back to me. Mm. When he heard this, he says that, I immediately woke up. And since that day, I have lost interest in doing anything. I used to go to school. Now I don't feel like going anymore. I don't go anymore. I left school. And the only thing I feel like doing is this, crying and crying and crying. I only cry all the time. So Sayyid Ayyub Ali, rahimahullah, he says that after we heard this young man, what he had to say, we consoled him, we comforted him, and we told him that, don't worry, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, he is going to arrive for Dhuhr Salah. And when he arrives after the Salah, then say that you are presenting yourself to renew your oath of allegiance. So when this young man heard it, he became sort of consoled and he became comforted with these words. And this conversation was taking place when Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, he left his room contrary to his normal routine. And he turned to this young man and he said, that, why have you come? And he says that, Sayyid Ayyub Ali, rahimahullah, he says that, we were surprised at this because usually Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, he would meet people by saying, why have you troubled yourself? You know, so this, it showed that the choice of wording that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahimahullah, he used, it showed that he was upset and angry with this young man. So after hearing this, now this young man, he became sad, he became, you know, he was filled with anxiety and grief, and he began to cry at this question as well. And he couldn't answer it. He was just crying. And after a little while, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, told him that, you know what, crying will not achieve anything. Crying is going to get you nowhere. Tell me, why have you come here? What is your purpose? So this young man now, he explained all that had transpired, or the entire situation. He told Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah. Then Ala Hazrat, rahimahullah, he said, why have you come to me? The young man again, he began to cry. And now he became, you know, so sad, so sorrowful, that he was unable to ask to renew his pledge of allegiance. And he never do it. And then Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahimahullah, told him that, stay here, I got some work to do. And he left. Now this young man, he began crying. And Sayyid Ayyub Ali, rahimahullah, says that, we went to that young man again. We consoled him again. We comforted him. And we told him that, you know what, don't be afraid. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah, he will come to offer Dhuhr Salah. And at that point, inform him, tell him, request him that you wish to renew your oath of allegiance. So after Salah, this young man, he requested to have his spiritual pledge renewed by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. And at this, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahimahullah, he replied, when you have taken an oath of allegiance over there at that place, why are you asking me now? And this young man, he said, Hazrat, Ya Sayyidi, I am the one that is at fault. I was the one that did wrong. I got misled, misguided by the words of people. And for this, I ask for your forgiveness. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he now told him and said that, reflect, contemplate and understand. I only accept murids so that they remain on the straight path. And it's not right for you to stand at one door today and tomorrow you stand at another door. It means he's trying to tell him that, you know what, stay loyal to one door. And when young man, he then said, Hazrat, it will be just as you say. Now, he says, for the sake of Allah, please forgive me for my mistake. So at this point, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he took the oath of allegiance from that young man again, and he returned happily to his home. Subhanallah. So from this masa, we see how Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he had his gaze, he had his blissful sight over his disciples, over his murideen. And also from this we learn that Sharia and Tariqah, they aren't different entities. You know, they are not separate as some people think. Rather, they are one. Sharia and Tariqah, they are one. Sharia is a person's outward self. You know, how they appear outwardly. How they dressing up, is it according to the Sharia? And tariqah is the person's inner self, for them to finesse it even more, for them to beautify it even more. Tariqah, it beautifies a person's actions. You know, not to have these spiritual diseases like jealousy, hatred, yes, malice, etc. This is tariqah. It purifies one's heart. Once the heart is purified, one's actions become even more sincere, filled with more ikhlas. So how can Sharia and Tariqah be separate? It can't. So this is very important, that people shouldn't be misled and think that, you know what, a Tariqah is okay, we have to do this, we have to do that, we don't really need to perform Salah, it's okay. But Tariqah, Ma'adullah. Some people, they do have this mindset that we just need to focus on Tariqah. Whereas without Sharia, there is no Tariqah. A person has to first adopt the Sharia, has to act upon the Sharia, and once that is in place, automatically then Tariqah will fall in. Of course, for this now, a person will need a true spiritual guide for them to be trained, for them to purify the heart. And when that is there, that link, it takes one all the way right up to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Al-Jilani rahimahullah, and from there to the court of Mawla Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and from there to the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Very beautifully explained, Sayyidi. And I hope it is truly an eye-opener for many to learn that Sharia is the yardstick.
Yes.
Subhanallah. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he spiritually enlightened so many. And here in this instance, this boy, he got to see the spiritual mastery of Ala Hazrat. Yes. He came to his dream, subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
That same Ma'adullah, he was maybe, perhaps, he was misjudging Ala Hazrat.
Right.
That he is not on that level. But when he came to his dream and to tell him to return his shajara, it was a very big thing.
Allahu Akbar.
He said, no, this is another level of spiritual power. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And those who told him that he's only Ba'adullah, downplaying the Sharia, that, you know, he only took the bayah of Sharia, this is the bayah of Tariqah and so on. No.
Allahu Akbar.
Sharia is everything.
Yes.
And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he rectified this notion when it comes to the i'tiqad, the corruption in terms of our belief system.
Right.
Yes, Sharia. And he corrected and rectified this notion that was introduced by those people, the false claimant of Tariqah.
Yes. Subhanallah.
And we need to be aware of such fake people. Yes, these are the very fake people who are giving Islam a bad name. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he laid yardstick in the matters of Sharia and Tariqah. In fact, he wrote a book entirely on describing and explaining what Sharia and Tariqah actually
Allahu
is.
Allahu Akbar.
And there is no difference between Sharia and Tariqah.
I think it's important for people to actually read this book of Sayyidina
Hazrat. Exactly. And Dawat Islami has published this book. And it has been made easy. It's difficult to understand, but alhamdulillah, the ulama, the madanis, they have made it easy for a common reader to read and understand and benefit from the book. I happened to get a copy a couple years ago, alhamdulillah, and I really appreciated it. It is truly an eye-opener. And it was a question by somebody, by some ignorant people, that they thought in their mind that tariqah is everything, sharia is just the beginning.
Allah.
And answering those objections, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, because this guy was spiritually motivated, and he said, no, the arguments must be adorned with the aqwal of Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala and the other awliya. So Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala mentioned tens of aqwal from Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala on the merit of sharia.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And who's Ghawsi Pak? He is the king of spirituality. He is the king of tariqah. He is the king of awliya. And him, he is mentioning the merit of sharia. Sharia is the yardstick. And when it comes to sharia, right? And tariqah, and those who see sharia and tariqah as two different entities, for them there is a beautiful Persian sher. I remember the next misra of this sher. The shair says, you know, some people have this eyesight problem. They are looking at one thing, but they are seeing two things. They see double, right?
Right.
So such people are called in Farsi, there is a word for such condition of the vision, ahwal.
Ahwal.
Yes. The shair says, "Jumla yakes to ahwal binad yake dogana."
Allah.
So it is the same thing. Only a person with an eyesight problem, he sees one as two.
This is a very big problem, actually.
Yes, and Sharia, then Al Azhar says in his world famous book, Shariat aur Tariqat, and he says in that book that Sharia, in fact, is the very body and life and the very heart and soul of the infinite knowledge of Allah Almighty, which has been revealed to us. Sharia is so vast, such a vast ocean. And he says, and from all of this vast ocean of Islamic Sharia, Tariqah and Marifah is merely the name of a small and minor part of this vast ocean.
Allah, Allah.
This is the reason that it is the unanimous decision of the awliya, and which has become fard, that all types of manifestation would be presented in front of Sharia.
Subhanallah.
If that manifestation or reality is in accordance with Sharia, then it would be considered as truth and also acceptable. Otherwise, it would be considered as rejected. Therefore, without any doubt, Sharia is the actual objective, and Sharia is the foundation of everything.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And then he says, Sharia is the scale and the determining factor. At the same time, it must be remembered that Sharia means the path or the road,
right?
The way. Therefore, Shariate Muhammadi, the term,
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam,
it will translate to the path of Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hence, the meaning is quite clear in its general sense and connotation of it, that it would include everything apparent and hidden and not restricted to merely a few laws pertaining to one's physical self or halal or haram only. It stretches way beyond that. This is the path for which a person makes dua 5 times a day to remain upon. In fact, a person makes this dua in every rakat of the salah. One can therefore say that to make dua, to remain steadfast on this path, is actually wajib. Because to recite Surah Fatiha in Salah is wajib.
Yes.
And then he says, which ayah, which surah is that? Subhanallah, Surah Fatiha, which ayah that we make dua to remain steadfast on Sharia? He said, it is this dua. اهدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ
سبحان
guide الله. us on the straight path. In other words, we are making dua to be guided in the path of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and to keep us steadfast on his sharia.
سبحان الله.
سيدنا عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما, Imam Abu al-Aliya and Imam Hassan Basri rahimahumullah ta'ala explained that Sirat-e-Mustaqim is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. This Sharia, then Allah has said, this Sharia is that path on which one meets his creator.
Allah.
That leads one to his creator. Subhanallah. In Surah Hud, verse 56, the Quran declares, Inna Rabbi ala Siratim Mustaqim. No doubt my Lord is met on the straight path.
Subhanallah,
subhanallah. And that is the path of Sharia. Look at how he opens our eyes to the reality as to what a vast ocean the Sharia is.
And this shows, Murasab, of what a true spiritual guide Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah he was. What a true spiritual guide he was. And he himself mentions that there are four conditions of a spiritual guide. Number one, he says that it is necessary that a spiritual guide fulfills four conditions for an oath of allegiance to be valid with him. Number one, the first point, he says that the Shaykh must be a Sunni with correct beliefs, the beliefs of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And number two, he says that he should have sufficient knowledge to extract necessary rulings from the books. That's number two. Number three, he says that he should not be an open sinner. And number four, his chain of allegiance should link all the way back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the four conditions for one to be a true spiritual guide. And at the end he says, where any one of these conditions is missing, or the oath of allegiance is totally impermissible. So these four conditions, if it is within a person, that a person knows, okay, the four conditions that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah has mentioned, it is within this person, then mashallah, by all means, if the person does not have a sheikh, does not have a true spiritual guide, then by all means, mashallah, take that person as your true spiritual guide. If such a person meets with these conditions. So we see that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, even with regards to placing the conditions to be a true spiritual guide, it was on the basis of Sharia. It wasn't on any other base. It wasn't on the base of tariqah. It was on the base of Sharia.
Sharia is everything. Tariqah, haqiqah, ma'rifah. They are all part of, maybe a tiny part of this vast ocean 100%. Of Sharia, in the words of Allah himself.
Yes.
Subhanallah. And see, it is so beautiful that he opens our eyes to the reality. And to a person who says, no, tariqah in everything. Tariqah is everything. Sharia, ma'azallah, he has something to say about that. Allah. To such people, he quotes the words of Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala himself.
Subhanallah.
Right? And that should satisfy
anyone.
He says, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi declares, one should not look at anyone else except the divine being of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is a very high state of tariqah. It is also necessary in this state that the person is enamored with those qualities which is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make certain that he obeys those laws. The person also should protect these laws if perchance you surpass the boundaries as prescribed within the Sharia, then understand that you have become embroiled in fitna and that the Satan is playing with you.
Allah.
You should move away from Sharia, that is.
All right.
You should immediately return to the command of Sharia, embrace the Sharia, and divorce yourself from all carnal desires. The reason is that whatever haqiqa or manifestation is not substantiated by Sharia, that reality or essence is nothing but falsehood.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
What a beautiful clarity this is.
Yes. And then Allah says, the words of the great Imam of the Awliya are sufficient for everyone because it contains a summary of everything.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So this is the command of Ghawse Pak, Ghawse Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. After that, who can say anything?
Allah.
He is the leader of tariqah. He is the imam and the leader of the awliya. Subhanallah. He is the crown of the heads of awliya.
Yeah.
And then he has to say this. Alhamdulillah. We have, since we are speaking of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, we have also a wonderful kalam in the praise of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, written and composed by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat.
Subhanallah.
Yes, inshallah, Azzawajal, go and listen to this kalam. Thereafter, we should be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu ala Muhammad,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Ghawse Azam, Sheh Jila.
Ghawse-e-Azam Bamn-e-Be Sar-o-Sama Madad-e Qibla-e-Deen Madad-e Kaaba Ba-e-Iman Madad-e
Waha kya martaba se qadam ala tera unche uncho ke saron se qadam ala tera
ya shah jila ya shah jila
ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ ہے تلوار تیرا اولیاء ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ ہے تلوار تیرا
دستگیر غوثِ اعظم میرے پیر دستگیر غوثِ اعظم میرے پیر
قبلہِ دین مددِ کعبہ باہِ ایمان مددِ
قسمِ دے دے کے کھلاتا ہے پلاتا ہے تجھے قسمِ دے دے کھلاتا ہے پلاتا ہے تجھے پیارا اللہ تیرا چاہنے والا تیرا پیارا اللہ تیرا چاہنے والا تیرا پیران پیر
روشن بنے بے
سستگی
دستگی
لائے دی مدد کا بھائی ایمان مدد
کیا دبے جس پہ حمایت کا پڑ جا تیرا کیا دبے جس پہ حمایت کا پڑ جا تیرا شیر کو خطرے میں لاتا نہیں کتا تیرا شیر کو خطرے میں لاتا نہیں کتا تیرا میرا رضا اور بیک نظر میرا فی چل کھالا سنا خان نو میں چہرہ تیرا چل کھالا سنا خان نو میں چہرہ تیرا
تیرا
پیران پیر
روشن بنے بے
سستگی دستگی
قبلہ دی مدد کا بھائی ایمان مدد
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ such a wonderful kalam and now we are back discussing the personality of this great imam imam احمد رضا خان علی رحمت الرحمن and today's topic specifically deals with science and spirituality and they are not really opposite to each other سبحان اللہ but they rather complement each other yes and Islamic spirituality everything is based on scientific principles yes knowledge is first alhamdulillah Islam places great emphasis on knowledge and all of this mathematics it's all form of knowledge miras we learn which is part of Islamic fiqh right and that has everything to do with mathematics for example astronomy one has to study astronomy to deduce many fiqhi matters for example and let's say trigonometry and geometry all these principles of maths they are also incorporated into Islamic fiqh many principles in Islamic fiqh they deal with the mathematical calculations and equations for example finding out the qibla direction Al-Hazrat the book he wrote it's filled with such concepts of geometric patterns and shapes that he has made and certain degrees and those principles that he has laid out alhamdulillah now we are discussing Sayyidi Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala as an expert of science and spirituality both
right
best of both subhanallah majma'ul bahrain and in this regard we would say he was a great economist as well economy is the science of wealth right wealth management according to a scientist who is known as the you know as an expert of economics he wrote a book and in his book he writes that this subject was taken as a dry and a subject that is very uninteresting right very dry subject it was only around 1940 that this subject gained popularity and international depression was the main cause behind it during the time of Al-Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala which is 1921,
yeah.
Way before 1940, economics was a subject at that time as well, which was not given much importance, right? Nevertheless, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, through his book, which is published in 1912, presented four points for the economic development of the Muslim Ummah.
Subhanallah.
At that time.
And
he says these principles that he laid out, alhamdulillah, these principles are also incorporated into our Dawat-e-Islami as well. Dawat-e-Islami actually runs on these principles, and Allah's principles are incorporated, and that is the backbone of our Dawat-e-Islami.
Subhanallah.
Allah's guidance and the Sharia advice that he had given in his books and in his literature. Now, what are those economic principles given by Allah? First principle he gives that barring the affairs wherein government is involved, the Muslims should decide all their disputes mutually, so that millions of currencies and monies which are spent over litigations may be saved.
Right.
Meaning keep your matters in-house. Resolve your matters with mutual understanding instead of taking it to a court and then creating a distaste and enmity and so on. We are at the same time smoking our money there.
Right.
Right? Waste, that is a royal waste.
And they charge big money as well.
Exactly. And so he is advising the Muslims against that. The second principle he laid out, the economic principle, is that the affluent Muslims of major cities, let's say Bombay, Calcutta, or Kolkata in today's time, Rangoon, which was, I think, a city in Myanmar or Burma, right? Madras, which is Chennai now,
right,
and Hyderabad, should open banks for other poor Muslims.
Subhanallah.
Look at how far-sighted he was.
The quality of empathy.
Yes, and he was looking out for the betterment of the Muslim Ummah, the financial
part
well-being.
Of it.
Yes.
Right.
And then the third principle, economic principle that he gave the Muslim Ummah, is that Muslims should not purchase anything from anybody else except Muslims. Yes. And the fourth principle that he laid out, that the sciences of Islam should be propagated and publicized.
Subhanallah.
Now, there is a professor of economy, right, in a university, and he says that I have had all the appreciation, you know, when I read these points of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he has propounded the theory of savings. In the first, he has propounded the theory of savings as to how we can save.
Right.
He has realized the significance of saving and has made people realize it as well through his principles. In most of the underdeveloped countries, the rate of saving varies from 5 to 8%, let's say. Now the economic experts have declared that for economic development of the country, saving to the tune of 15% of the national income is a must. The importance of saving overshadowed the world in the year 1936, when the theory of saving and investment, which proved successful in overcoming the international depression. In short, according to these principles, and if we look at the principles, the economic principles of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, they were way ahead of their times. Subhanallah. The theory was only proven later.
Allah.
In 1936. But way before that, in 1912, Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he had laid out the principles of Islamic economics. Alhamdulillah. So this is the scientific genius
amazing,
we have. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, who was far-sighted, and his insight and foresight into matters was truly amazing. Sayyidi, the time has, I mean, like all good things, this episode
Allah,
also has to come
Allah.
To an end. And before we conclude, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, as we are discussing the scientific genius Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, let's inshallah, Azza wa Jal, conclude on some spiritual points given by this great genius.
Well, Mawasab, you know, subhanAllah, it's truly remarkable of what a genius he was, and all-rounder, we can say, you know, in every field of knowledge. And when it comes to his spirituality, as we've mentioned earlier, where he mentioned the four conditions that a true spiritual guide must have, here we see Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he also taught us the adab of a murshid, the respect one should have for a murshid. And now we will look at something very different, and this is Imam Ahmad Radha Khan Rahimahullah in the eyes of his murshid.
It is
mentioned that in when Imam Ahmad Radha Khan Rahimahullah, when he was 22 years old, he's still young, and he began to cry whilst he was contemplating about something, he was pondering over something, and in that state he fell off to sleep. In his dream, he saw his beloved grandfather, Mufti Radha Ali Khan Rahimahullah. And he's seeing that his grandfather is giving him a small chest and saying that soon the person who will cure your aching heart will come. Mm. And the very next day, Mulana Shah Abdul Qadir Badayuni Rahimahullah, he came and took Imam Ahmad Radha Khan Rahimahullah with him to Mahrera Sharif.
Subhanallah.
When they reached the station of Mahrera Sharif, Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he said that I can get the scent of a true spiritual guide that is coming my way. I can sense it and I can get the scent of it. So he says that at that station, Imam Ahmad Radha Khan Rahimahullah, he took a shower, a bath at a particular lodge. He changed his clothes and he proceeded to the Barakatiyya spiritual lodge.
Subhanallah.
Right? So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he arrived in the court of the spiritual master, Shah Ali Rasul Marehravi Rahimahullah. And when he saw him, when he saw Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, was 22 years old, he said, come, we have been waiting for you for many, many days.
Subhanallah.
He was actually, his murshid was waiting for him. And at that time, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he gave an oath of allegiance and he was immediately bestowed upon the spiritual successorship in the Qadri, Chisti, Saharwardi and Naqshbandi spiritual chains.
Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, we see that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, being 22 years of age, immediately received all of this ijazah, received all of these bounties from the spiritual bounties from his sheikh at the young age of 22 years old. So this was undoubtedly the genius, the intelligence, the spirituality of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. And subhanallah, we are also murids of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. Alhamdulillah.
Sayyidi, this is so like very unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the Shaykh has so much of appreciation for his murids.
100%.
And mashallah, there were also some rumors there that mm-hmm. You don't necessarily give khilafah to somebody that easily.
Right.
People come there and many have been wishing that they could get khilafah. And uh-huh. here, you see him for the first time and you're giving him all the ijazat and the khilafah and everything. And he closed the door of all these suspicions. And he said, he already came prepared. He just needed a link.
Allah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
And then he says, his Peer Sahib, Ali Rasul Marehravi, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he says that I have put my confidence in Imam Ahmad Raza. He says, Roze Mahshar agar mujhse poochhe khuda, if Allah Azza wa Jal asks on the day of judgment, he asks me, bol Ale Rasul tu laya hai kya? Tell me, O Ale Rasul, what have you brought with you? Arz kar dunga laya hu Ahmad Raza.
Subhanallah.
I will say, I have brought Ahmad Raza. Ya Khuda ye amanat salamat rahe. O Allah, may this trust be kept safeguarded.
Subhanallah.
And protected. So this was the spiritual genius, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And as you've mentioned that he was already in agony, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
He was restless. And when he arrived, he could already sense and get the smell and the fragrance of his spiritual guide. And this is how or what the awliya Allah talk about when they say the Persian proverb, walira wali mishan asad. Walira wali mishan asad. That only a saint recognizes another saint.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So yes, alhamdulillah, we have discussed the scientific aspect of the life of Sayyidi Alaa rahmatullahi ta'ala together with his beautiful spirituality. And it's been amazing. Jazakallah Sayyidi.
And thanks
to our viewers out there who keep our Madani channel running and afloat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this bond, and together we grow from Ameen. Strength to strength. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala
Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
His pen was bold, his heart was free. He left behind a radiant legacy. He left behind a radiant legacy.